Welcome to the Digital Story Show, new tools for the creative mind. The Digital Story Show takes you inside with tips for the creative pursuit of photography, music, video, hardware, software, techniques, and hacks. You'll soon find yourself thinking less about buttons and menus and more about expressing the artist inside us all. Now the Digital Story Show with Derek Story.
August 1st, 2006, the Digital Story Show with Derek Story. Today's topic, camera phones. That's right, I'm going to talk about camera phones today because there's actually a lot to say. Camera phones are coming along. They're actually becoming little point-and-shoots crammed in there along with your phone and everything else that they do. And even if you don't have one of the new ones that take, let's say, much better pictures than the ones even from a year ago, there are still lots of useful things that you can do with them, and I'm going to talk about that too. So we're going to do camera phones, old, new, no matter what you have, I have a little something for you. Now, first a little bit of business. This is the beginning of the month, so we have a new photo assignment. This month's photo assignment is going to be red. Red. It's going to be red. Now, you know, we're still in the middle of summer. For July, we had heat, but now we're going to have red, which means you can interpret that any number of ways. Red is a very versatile topic in a very versatile photo assignment. So see what you can do with red for the whole month of August. We're going to be working on red. Grab shots. How are those grab shots coming? Do you have one sitting there on your hard drive that you haven't sent in yet? If you do, I'd encourage you to do that because you know, these are just one of my favorite things on the site, and it's a great way for you to get your pictures up in front of everyone else, so not only can you share them with other members of our virtual camera club here, but also friends and family. It's kind of neat to show them, hey, go over here and look, I have a shot up, and some of them might even have been there when you took it. So get those grab shots sent in, and remember this month's photo assignment is red. Now, let me get to camera phones. So this all started a long time ago. I got one of the early camera phones, an early Sony Ericsson camera phone, and it was interesting. My very first camera phone reminded me of my very first digital camera, which was, I believe, a Kodak DC20. Does that sound right? The DC20 shot 320 by 240 images. It was a very simple camera, no zooming or anything like that. And my very first camera phone recorded at 320 by 240 with no real focusing or zooming either. So my thought is that the evolution of camera phones is probably going to be very similar to the evolution of point-and-shoot digital cameras. And sure enough, here we are in 2006, and it's looking very much that way. Now, the latest camera phone that I've been testing is a Sony Ericsson W810i. It's relatively new. They announced it a little earlier this year, but here in the States, it's only started showing up in the last month or two. And it's the little candy bar style of Sony Ericsson phone. It's not a flip phone. It's just the little candy bar size, very much like the T637 that I had prior to that. But what's interesting, the new one, the W810i, isn't any bigger than my T637 candy bar phone. Yet, now it takes 2-megapixel pictures with a lot more camera functionality, which I'm going to discuss in a minute. It can record video clips with sound, and it does a good job of it. Has an FM radio in it, which I really like because sometimes when I'm working out or whatever, it's just good to listen to the radio with your headset on. It has a built-in Walkman MP3 player that plays a variety of file formats, so you can save your MP3s on there and listen to music or podcasts or even the digital story if you want, where you record an MP3. And it's a pretty darn good phone that does all those phony things like send SMS, text messages, and goodies like that. So they've really put a lot more in the same size package. So looking at that, you know, looking at the specs and everything before I tested it, I was going, well, if they have all that in there, how good of a camera can it really be? So I've been testing it lately, and it's really quite interesting. And I'm going to talk just a little bit about the performance of this particular camera phone. But I think, this would be true also for other Sony Ericsson camera phones and possibly even some of the competitors, too. Because I think, you know, they all kind of move along together, even though some have, you know, a little bit stronger here and others a little stronger there. Generally speaking, if it's like point-and-shoot digital cameras, they're all, the packs kind of moving along about the same speed. So one of the first things that I wanted to test of this camera phone is just, you know, how good is the lens? Because that's always my number one concern on these multifunctional devices. So I took some shots, and what I did was I shot out in broad daylight, and I shot architectural subjects, so I'd have lots of lines and stuff to look at high magnification. And actually, I'm going to, if you go to the show notes on www.thedigitalstory.com, I'll put a link so you can download an unretouched full-size image that I took with the Sony Ericsson phone so you can inspect it for yourself and come up with your own conclusions. But here's what I noticed. First of all, I was really impressed with the center sharpness on it. It has an autofocus sensor, so you use it like a regular point-and-shoot where you push the shutter down halfway and let it focus on whatever it is that's important to you. And then when you get the confirmation light and beep, then you go ahead and push the shutter down the rest of the way, and it records the picture. So I took some shots outdoors in, you know, nice full sunshine of some architectural subjects using this technique. And then I brought it back, and I uploaded it onto my Mac, and I looked at it at a full 100% magnification and inspected it and compared it to other shots I've taken with other cameras. But I look at so many photographs, I usually know what I'm looking for, even without comparing it. So the first thing that I noticed, that the center sharpness of this image was very good. I mean, I was very impressed with how sharp it was in the center of the frame. And as I was looking at lines, you know, linear lines, like window treatments and so forth, they were nice and crisp, and the diagonal lines weren't jagged or anything at all. There was very little image noise. It actually records, this particular phone records in outdoors at ISO 80. And I'll talk a little bit more about ISO in a second with these. But it was at ISO 80. And the color was quite good, too. It was nice and saturated, but it was natural. It wasn't phony color. It looked very real. Now, the edge sharpness was another matter. It wasn't disturbing at all, but you could really, as you looked at the photograph and studied it, you could see that the center area was much sharper than as you worked out towards the edges. Now, for a lot of ways that camera phones are used, which is usually to take pictures of your friends or your family while you're out bopping around, this makes sense, you know, where to put the emphasis. So if you're taking, let's say, a shot of one or two people and they're in the center of the frame, they're going to be nice and sharp. And then actually, kind of in a nice, interesting way, the sides will be a little bit softer, which for some portraiture is actually the way you want to go anyway. However, if you're doing a group shot with your camera phone and you have people lined up from edge to edge, the folks on the edge of the group shot aren't going to fare as well as those in the middle. So if you do a group shot with this camera phone or a comparable model, put the people you don't like on the edges, because they're not going to be nearly as clear or rendered as well. Now, granted, I'm picky about this. I mean, this is what I do. I look at pictures and I take pictures and all that kind of stuff. But there is a difference. I mean, there's a visual difference. And when you look at the sample shot on the site, you will see that the center of the frame is much sharper than the edges. So part of that, of course, is the design of the lens. But another thing that I noticed as I was looking at the metadata for the shot is that regardless if I shot indoors or outdoors or whatever, it was always at f/2.8. And what these what this phone does is that it just changes the shutter speed depending on the lighting situation, sometimes even the ISO. So in a way, it's sort of like you're in permanent aperture priority mode with the aperture set wide open. Now, we all know that on most of our lenses, they don't perform their best, especially on edge sharpness when shot wide open only. But because a camera phone, at least the camera phones as they stand right now, only have so much functionality, then they don't have variable aperture yet. So we're going to be at f/2.8 or whatever it is all the time, and then it just changes the shutter speed. So that also explains some of the softness on the edges. So that's kind of my sharpness thing. Now, I did make some prints, and the nice thing about a 2-megapixel camera is that you can make very nice 5x7 prints of so-called photo quality, and you can even get away with up to 8x10. I made 5x7s from the shots that I was testing, and they look great. They look really great. And what's kind of cool, because this is a Bluetooth phone, that means then I have one of my printers that I have. It's a Canon i80. It's a little portable printer, and it has a Bluetooth module in it. So I can send the images directly from my phone to the printer, and then it prints out the 4x6s, and it prints out borderless 4x6s, and they look really good. So I did this testing, sort of this real-world testing, printing out 4x6s, and then I also uploaded the images into the computer and printed out 5x7s, and they look great. They look like any image that you would get from a 2-megapixel camera from a couple years ago, with maybe the one difference being a little bit softer on the edges than some of the 2-megapixel cameras I had a while back. So, overall performance was actually quite good. In terms of features, things have changed a lot also since the last camera phone that I bought. You still have the standard things, white balance, and you get to set resolution and all that sort of stuff. Set resolution at the highest and set your quality at the best, just like you would any other point-and-shoot camera. The white balance settings on the W810i, they worked, but I thought they were a little heavy-handed. In other words, the cloudy shot, the cloudy white balance setting really warmed it up. And so for the most part, I find myself sticking just with the auto white balance unless I'm really in some kind of severe situation. The self-timer works quite well. It has an interesting function, both burst mode and panorama mode, which kind of a hoot. At first, I thought the panorama would be kind of slick, but then when I tested the camera and the edge sharpness wasn't so good on the images, then I was thinking it's going to be kind of hard to stitch these together if you have images that have softness on the edges. So I'm not so sure how useful that panorama mode is going to be, but I got to give them brownie points for at least including that bad boy in there. They include another nice thing. There isn't a flash per se, but what they do is they put three LED lights around the lens there that are really bright. I mean, if you turn on that light and look at it, you go, whoa. And that actually is useful as a fill light when you're in a situation where you need to add a little extra light to the scene or you need to balance out the light a little bit. And I tested this, where I would take a shot of a person first without the fill light, and then I would turn the fill light on, and it actually works. It works pretty cool. This combined with exposure compensation, so you can brighten the image or darken the image while you're looking at it on the monitor, and it's very easy to do. It has very easy controls for doing exposure compensation. And all of this stuff worked remarkably well. It was like having a little point and shoot. And I really like having the autofocus where I can set the sensor and press the shutter halfway and focus on what I want. So I know that that's going to be sharp. And then, of course, letting everything else sort of go the way that it wants. Now, as an added bonus, it also records video. And I was somewhat skeptical about how good this could be. There are microphone inputs on the camera, so it records audio with it. And so I just fired it up and I shot some video. And I was pleasantly surprised. The video is remarkably good. It's not overly large in terms of resolution. I think it's 176 wide. So it's not huge, but actually, it looks great on your when you see it on the camera phone and on the computer screen. It saves as a QuickTime compatible file, so you can, if you have QuickTime on your computer, which I think just about everybody does, you can play the videos no problem, and then you can even do things like stitch them together and all that kind of stuff. Now, at this point, you're probably wondering, well, my camera phone doesn't have a whole lot of memory, so how does it store all this stuff? Well, actually, it has a removable memory card. It's a Memory Stick Pro Dual, and it comes with one that's 512 megabytes, and you can get them all the way up to 2 gigabytes. And this is another huge improvement over the old days. In the old days, they used to put the memory stick where you couldn't get to them, like underneath the battery or something. Now you just have a regular memory card slot on the side of the phone. It has a little cover. You just pull the cover back, and you can pop the memory card out whenever you want. And the phone also connects via USB, so it comes with a cable, so you can connect it to your computer USB. However, the transfer speed to me feels very much like USB 1.1, which is a little slow, even for 2-megapixel pictures, a little slower than I like. So I just take the memory stick out of the phone and I put it in my card reader, which is USB 2.0, and it just blazes right along. So again, another feature that feels very much like a regular phone, which is you have removable memory and you can carry extra cards and do all that stuff. So now you have a place to keep your video and your photos that doesn't use up the phone's actual memory. Another note about Bluetooth before I move on to some of the cool things that you can do with a phone is that I really like Bluetooth. I'm a big fan of it. And the nice thing about it is that you don't have to use cables and don't have to take your memory sticks out in order to transfer your pictures. You can just send them wirelessly from your phone to your computer or to your Palm device or anything else that's Bluetooth enabled. I mentioned earlier that I use Bluetooth to send images directly to my printer, which I think is just really handy. You just pull it up on the phone, you hit send, your printer comes up, you send it to that printer, and out comes a 4x6 print. It really couldn't be easier. So for Bluetooth, one of the things that I think is very handy is that if you don't want to go through pulling out the memory stick or connecting the USB cable and you just want to grab a picture off your phone that you just took, then just send it to your computer. Just, pull it up, hit send, and send it over to your Mac or to your Windows PC, and you'll get the full file there. It'll show up right on your desktop or wherever those files go on your computer, and then you can drop it into your photo management application or open it in Photoshop and adjust it and print it and do all that kind of stuff. So it's really handy, and Bluetooth, I think on these devices, is just a huge plus. So much so that I'm wondering, why we don't see more Bluetooth on our regular point-and-shoot cameras. I mean, it's so handy for printing and for file transfer. It just eliminates the headache of having to have a card reader always with you or the cable always with you. You just send it. And there are so many Bluetooth devices these days that can receive these images. It's getting close to ubiquitous. So anyway, a big plus for the camera phones is the Bluetooth networking capability that they have built into them. Now, what are some of the fun things that you can do with these phones? Well, I'm going to give you a couple of practical things that, regardless if it's one of the newer phones or if you have one of the older phones, some practical things that I use all the time. The first one has to do with parking garages. One of the things that whenever I park in a parking garage or I park at the airport or even the mall, I always want to remember where I was, and especially airport parking. This is a big deal because you can be away for a while and come back and go, where's my car again? So a really handy camera phone tip is to, when you get out of your car, take a picture of the sign, you know, like J3 or C1, whatever it happens to be where your car is parked, and then keep that picture. That way, when you come back into town, if you forget, all you got to do is look at your camera phone. You'll see the sign, you know, the sign. And if you step back a little bit, you might even be able to see the sign and where your car is relative to the sign, and you'll find it right away. Really useful. I do it all the time, and I highly recommend it for those of you that sort of occasionally forget where you parked. Now, another thing when you're traveling that's really handy to do is take pictures of things that you don't know how to say in a foreign language, like the restroom, like a place to eat, like a taxi cab, you know, all those kinds of stuff. And so if you need to use the restroom, let's say you're in a restaurant or wherever you happen to be, then you can just pull that picture up on your camera phone, point to it, and then you can get pointed in the right direction. So again, it's pictures are a universal language, and this is a handy way to communicate with folks when you don't speak the language. Finally, one other use that I use these a lot for is documentation. And, you know, heaven forbid if you ever get dinged in a parking lot or you have any sort of a situation like that. But they are handy for, you know, just documenting something that happens right when it happens so that you have a record. It's time stamped, so you know when that happened. And it's a pretty good reference. So along with not forgetting where your car is and for asking for taxi cabs and restrooms and stuff, camera phones, regardless if you have a new one or old one, are pretty handy for just documenting things in real time. So the way camera phones are evolving, they seem to be going at pretty much the same pace that we saw point and shoots. So right now in the U.S., you can get your hands on some pretty good 2-megapixel models. 3.1 megapixel models are starting to appear, although I haven't actually seen one yet. I haven't had a chance to actually play with one. And I think it won't be too long before we see 4 megapixel models. For the most part, 2 megapixel is all that I would really expect out of a camera phone in terms of, you know, because of its other limitations, because you don't have a zoom lens. The one that I'm using, the W810i, does have a digital zoom, but I did some side-by-side comparisons with it, and I wasn't really thrilled with the quality. I'm rarely thrilled with the quality of a digital zoom, so I don't really consider that a feature that I would use much. And, of course, you have that fixed aperture at f2.8, and, you know, some of the other, you know, you don't really have a true flash. So because of those limitations, then unless some of those features are upgraded, then a 4-megapixel model really wouldn't thrill me that much, because then I just have, you know, 4 megapixels with the same limitations. But I will say that the 2-megapixel model is very nice, and it's especially nice to be able to make a really good 4x6 and 5x7 prints that look like real prints, that look like real camera stuff. And for that reason, if you're interested in, you know, new technology, and if you're interested in always having a camera with you and not having to carry an extra device in addition to your phone, then I think it might be time finally to look at camera phones and, shop around a little bit, compare specs, and start looking for one maybe that would fit your need. And especially if you're in the market for a new point-and-shoot, or if you don't have a point-and-shoot, or if you lost your point-and-shoot, this is a great way to go. I wouldn't say so far as that it's a substitute for a good point-and-shoot, because if I know I'm going to be out bopping around and wanting to take pictures, I'd rather have a good 4 or 5 megapixel point-and-shoot with a quality lens and all the features in my back pocket. But it's nice not having to take it every time I go out the door, knowing that I have a 2-megapixel camera phone in my pocket. And I think it's fitting in nicely. It's definitely still at the bottom of the heap in terms of my cameras, but I would say now, finally, it's a real camera. Okay, so just a few other things. I actually recorded this show a little ahead of time because as you're listening to this, I'm in Iceland taking pictures on the Iceland adventure. And I thought, well, I better have a show ready to go. So I pre-recorded this show so you'd have something to listen to while I'm out chasing ice floes and tourists and locals and all that kind of stuff. And I'll be reporting heavily on that when I get back. But if you haven't gone to the site lately, I encourage you to do so because I will be posting shots as I get bandwidth from the trip from Iceland. So you might want to take a look and see what's going on, not to mention the grab shots and the photo assignments and all the other good stuff that we have there every day. So stop by, take a look, send me your grab shots, work on your photo assignment, red for this month. And go out there and use your camera and have some fun. I'll see you next week. Bye-bye now.
Your questions and comments, email them to questions@thedigitalstory.com. For show notes, web blogs, and informative articles, visit www.thedigitalstory.com. We'll see you next time on The Digital Story.